in the criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate but equally important groups. But today we are focusing on the first of those two. It is Peace Officer Day on KBUR. And I am joined by Lieutenant Greg Allen of the Burlington Police Department. And as always, Mr. Jason Marlowe of the Iowa State Patrol. Gentlemen, always a pleasure to have you on.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
It is definitely... Jason, I'm going to start with you. I'm guessing with the weather and everything that's going on, it's got to be a tough time for Iowa State Patrol with you guys out there.
Well, I think most of us are probably used to it by now. We can expect that. If it was the middle of July, I'd be much more concerned with the amount of snow. But clearly, we live in the Midwest, so we're used to a few of these things. And after, you know, the New Year's Day was probably our biggest one for the season so far, maybe even the first one. We're starting to get a little bit more accustomed to the driving aspect, and people are figuring that out. I do want to mention that as people continue to travel around, you can always visit the 511 website. You know, put that on your smartphone if you're able to do those things and enjoy that aspect of technology and still calling the number the old-fashioned way. But there are a lot of obstacles on the roadways during snowstorms, particularly those snow plows. And that doesn't matter whether you're in the city or the county or the state DOT trucks. And those vehicles are much different than when I started, you know, all those years ago. It's more than just raising and lowering the blade on the front. There's a lot of things that are happening there, and you'll see them pulling trailers with de-icer, and you see, you know, additional blades, the wings and things of that nature. And they would clearly appreciate that extra room. There are times that I've seen vehicles that think, you know, the best place for me to be is on the back bumper of that snowplow because that's where the road surface is going to be the cleanest. However, that creates visibility issues not only for that driver. It gives the snowplow operator one more thing to think about. You know, occasionally they are going to have to slow, maybe even potentially come to a stop on the roadways. Most of the time it's slowing to maneuver around a post, a mailbox, whatever it is on the side of the road. So things of that nature are very important during those times. And if, in fact, you can give them a little extra space and a little extra room, I think they would be very appreciative of that.
Do you often have to ticket or cite violators who tend to not give them space?
Well, a lot of times what we see is, you know, a crash-related scenario where we're called to cover a crash of some sort where there's been an incident, and that can involve a lot of different things. And even after the storm itself has passed, where they're maybe clearing the shoulders, you know, they're going to attempt on, let's say, a four-lane roadway between here and Mount Pleasant. They're going to work on one lane to get that as, you know, passable as they can. And then eventually they'll work into the other lane and then come back, hit shoulders, hit intersections, things of that nature. And we have seen, you know, numerous crashes over the years that have involved that secondary pass, those third operations of clearing intersections, because there's some unknowns when you're not used to seeing snowplows backing up and clearing out crossovers and things of that nature. So it's just a good reminder. Their visibility is well documented with orange flashing lights, as well as some of the state trucks that now have a blue flashing light, and that helps in the evening hours to make them much more visible.
And speaking of snowplows, Lieutenant Allen, I will direct this question to you. We were discussing this briefly before we went on the air. Citations and tickets for snow route parking violations, that seems to be a hot button issue with a lot of people here within the city. About how many have you had so far this year?
I'm not sure the total for the year, but I know yesterday we had 74 snow route tickets.
74 just yesterday?
Yes.
Wow. That's a lot of parking. Is it really a major problem with people parking along snow routes in the city?
Well, I think the problem's they don't know when to move the vehicles. And it's any time after we've had 2 inches, they're required to move the vehicles. And a lot of them yesterday said, well, I got up and I didn't have enough time to move it. Well, they knew the night before they could see the forecast that we were going to have more than 2 inches. So they probably should have moved the vehicle the night before.
Some people would, if I could play devil's advocate here, it's a lack of communication on the part of the city and the police department to warn people to move their vehicles, but do you think that's more on them or?
Well, at the beginning of the year, they always put out, the city puts out a pamphlet that says what the snow routes are and what the requirements are. You know, if there's 2 inches, it automatically goes into effect. So I think it's communicated out there. It's just people think that they'll have time to move it. And it, like I said, as soon as it goes into effect, after we get 2 inches, we usually give them an hour or two. But after that, you know, we have to enforce it or it's not going to get plowed.
Right. So it's more of a giving them a window of opportunity. And then once that's expired, that's when they're in violation of the rule.
Correct. And the main goal is to just get the streets plowed. So.
Right. And obviously it's a safety issue, not just for the guys plowing the street, but also you don't want to damage anybody's cars.
Correct. We have accidents with that. You know, they're in the way and a snowplow will hit it, slide into it. Or.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm going to move on to another topic here. We've gotten several reports here and other places of a lot of drug traffic moving through the state. And a big problem right now, I see the big one, is fentanyl. And that has that sort of surpassed any other narcotic as sort of the main one that's being picked up by law enforcement?
Yeah, I think you look at you know, any type of drug usage, things that we are involved in law enforcement as kind of being a cycle of some sorts. You'll see some baseline steady trends that have covered decades, you know, things like marijuana and, you know, have been around for a long time. Back when I started in the early to late 90s, we had a methamphetamine issue. And again, there are still availability of that product probably far too frequently across the state. But, you know, with fentanyl and some of the other things that have become much more name brand prescription medication, again, things of that nature that you didn't think about years and years ago.
It does seem like prescription medication, especially like fentanyl, which I believe is a surgical anesthetic in a lot of places, that is, seems to be the most sought after street drug nowadays.
Yeah, and again, a lot of that stuff is, you know, based on where you're at and maybe not only within the state of Iowa, but it might be other places as well. So, you know, from a law enforcement standpoint, clearly our objective is to remove those items from the public and to investigate incidents that involve transportation, you know, trafficking, possession, and we will continue to do that. And it is a challenge. I know there has often been frustration on part of the public because we rely on information from, you know, whether it's a neighbor, whether it's someone that, you know, maybe saw something, things of that nature. And, you know, I reported this to the Iowa State Patrol and I don't see anything getting done about it. Why have they not shown up the next day or, you know, that from that standpoint and arrested them? Because we all know what's going on over there. Well, drug cases are a little bit different in the fact that it takes a little bit of time to build that case. And if, in fact, you want a successful prosecution, which is ultimately the goal, right, you want that person or that individual or that group of individuals brought to justice, you're going to have to develop some things. It may be more than just a one-time incident. It may be more than just, hey, I see a bunch of cars hanging out at this house all the time in the wee hours of the night. Well, that might be something to get the ball started and rolling, but, you know, those investigations take a little bit more time.
Absolutely.
And I know that's frustrating. I understand that. It can be frustrating on behalf of those officers that are working those cases as well. But that's really an important thing to remember. You know, we can clearly remove amounts of narcotics that we come across maybe during a traffic stop and things of that nature, which again leads to other things going on. So I can assure all of the listeners as well as yourself that there are probably some things happening right now as we speak. And there's maybe no greater area in Southeast Iowa to see that than Burlington. Over the last several years, there have been multiple investigations and multiple warrants served throughout our community that have assisted in removing some of those items from our streets and from our communities.
I remember it distinctly. It was a couple of months after I first moved to Burlington. It was November 2019 when we had that massive citywide raid of search warrants being served within the city, and I believe the court report just came back. A total of 8 convictions, and this was a drug conspiracy dating back to 2001 with connections to Louisiana. Do you remember, Lieutenant Allen, anything about those raids and anything about – because planning for a raid like that has to take months at least.
Well, it's actually years, I think, that them took place.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, that was some of the big players, but like he said, with that stuff, it takes a lot of time to build a case.
Does it take a lot of is it more of a planning process to take down the bigger offenders, or is it more difficult to take down a lot of the small, low-level guys?
It takes more to take down the big guys. I mean, you got to get a case and, you know, show that they're at the top, you know, that they're the ones that have the supplies and the drugs.
Well, you have to imagine that a lot of these drug rings, especially, the rabbit hole goes very, very deep, and getting a solid conviction on these guys has to be a real pain.
Yeah, and it definitely can be. And again, as Lieutenant mentioned, it's more than just our immediate area. Sometimes these involve multi-jurisdictional efforts and information that's shared back and forth. Clearly, you know, our location here in Southeast Iowa is accessible to the east and into Illinois and to other places throughout the Midwest. We're linked through cars based on Interstate 80 and Interstate 35. So, you know, trafficking that goes from one side of the country to the other, if it's going to be, you know, delivered by motor vehicle, it is very well likely to at some point come through Iowa. So we know those things. We've used that information to train most of our troopers as well as other officers in, you know, questions to ask, things to observe. The obvious ones, you know, I think everyone's aware of. If you've got somebody that's taken a cross-country trip and they have, you know, no luggage in their car or things of that nature, that would not be the norm for most people. You know, if mm-hmm. Mrs. Marlowe and I are going to load up and go somewhere for a few days, there's probably going to be a suitcase in the car with some luggage and things of that nature. So we look for those signs as well as others. And again, it's not just as easy as it appears on TV and the movies. I grew up in the era of Miami Vice and things of that nature, and it's not always as cool as Don Johnson showing up in a Lamborghini and things of that nature.
The white suit. Absolutely.
So, you know, you've got to look into those aspects of it. Again, if we're going to bring those individuals to justice and make successful arrests, we also want a successful prosecution. And that is based on the case and all that information that is required to get that conviction.
All right, Lieutenant Greg Allen and Jason Marlowe of the Iowa State Patrol and Burlington Police Department, respectively. We're going to get into some more police-related topics. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back after this.
It's high school boys basketball this Friday night on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR. Join Scott Mason as Burlington hosts Mount Pleasant. Brought to you by Reinsmith's Flooring America, Bob Dodd's Insurance, the Danville State Savings Bank, Pizza Ranch, Courtesy Door, Ritter's Garden Center, Standard of Beaverdale, and the Pilot Grove Savings Bank. Burlington Mount Pleasant Boys Basketball, Friday night at 7:15 on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR and KBUR.com.
Want better skin from your body wash? Try Olay Body Wash, infused with skincare super ingredient collagen. Olay Body Wash with collagen hydrates to renew skin surface cells, improving skin 3 times better versus the leading body wash, to transform skin from dry and dull to firm and radiant, so I can step into my day feeling fearless in my skin. And now try new Olay Body Lotion, which hydrates for healthier-looking skin that improves over time. Olay Body.
We've all heard the expression, practice makes perfect. But at Kumon Learning Centers, we believe practice makes possibilities. Imagine what your child could achieve with math and reading mastery at an early age. No one achieves greatness by accident. They practice. Right now, enjoy free registration and save up to $50 at Kumon, where practice makes possibilities. Call 1-800-ABC-MATH to book an orientation today.
Are you ready to start planning your next vacation? Direct flights between Burlington, Iowa and St. Louis or Chicago O'Hare begin February 1st, 2022. Daily service on Cape Air is affordable and convenient from Burlington, with flights starting at just $39 each way to St. Louis and $49 each way to Chicago O'Hare. Parking at the Burlington Airport is free with service beginning February 1st. Book your next trip at capeair.com.
Barkley, Van Camp, and Robin.
It appears that with Prince Andrew was a client-salesman relationship between him and Jeffrey Epstein, and apparently it goes deeper than that when it comes to the madam, Ghislaine Maxwell.
Prince Andrew also dated Maxwell.
Yes.
Yeah, they went to movies.
That's the allegation out there, yeah.
Held hands. He got the soda, she got the popcorn.
Weekdays. It's Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins. Weeknights from 5 till 8 on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
And once again, 922 at KBUR, it's Peace Officer Day. I'm joined by Lieutenant Greg Allen of the Burlington Police Department and Jason Marlowe, a frequent contributor to the show of the Iowa State Patrol. And gentlemen, one of the biggest topics we've heard from the federal level anyways in terms of law enforcement is illegal guns. And this seems to be a very hot topic in the press right now. And about what is the frequency with which you see stolen or undocumented firearms?
Yeah, I'll take the first swing at that one, I guess. I wouldn't say it's anything in our immediate area that probably leads from a statistical standpoint. Again, occasionally, whether it's the State Patrol or the DCI or the DNE, somebody within the Department of Public Safety has probably experienced that in their career and could be very well working on a case as we speak here this morning. But, you know, I don't think it maybe is as prevalent as in other places in the country.
Lieutenant Allen?
We do see several guns, you know, throughout the year. But the main thing is just we need to enforce the laws that we have, and that's what we're doing. A lot of times if it's involved with drugs, you know, we arrest them for drugs and they also have weapons. You know, that we'll look at their criminal record, and a lot of times we waiver that or refer it to the federal prosecutions.
So it's usually attack on charge that they have an illegal firearm while in possession of the...
Right. They're a felon, they're dealing drugs, and, you know, they have a firearm. So
whether it's undocumented or stolen or not, that's usually a problem for another department. Most people would assume ATF, usually?
Yeah, we'll contact the ATF. If it's, you know, a stolen firearm or something like that, we would contact them. And
speaking of that just reminds me of... case, a rather scary case we had a little while ago. Someone had homemade explosives in a backpack, I believe. That was an arrest from the Burlington Police Department. Is that another sort of ATF situation, or?
A lot of times the state will handle that as well.
As you got to imagine, improvised explosives, that's an incredibly dangerous thing for someone to have.
Yes.
There's no doubt about that. Yeah. And that probably...
I know, understatement of the year. But
very well could, you know, lead to an ATF. I would say our first line of defense, if that's the proper term, would be the State Fire Marshal's Office is typically who we would call if we, you know, come across something of that nature, whether it's the city departments or the Sheriff's Office or even the State Patrol for that matter. Because I'm not a bomb tech. I don't have the proper equipment. If something looks out of the ordinary, you know, the first thing that I would strongly recommend would be to remove all personnel from that immediate area and bring the people in with the proper training and the proper equipment to address that issue, and they have those things. Now, that takes time, and again, you don't always know immediately with what you're dealing with, but I go back to my law enforcement training from the TV shows and trying to defuse certain devices the MacGyver way is not the best way, and nor does it work in the real world. But it doesn't mean that there aren't those individuals that are out there with things of that nature. Doesn't take much to get on YouTube and to figure out how to do certain things. I'm not saying it's the right way, and you want to be careful with that because it's probably not legal either. But if we come across those type of situations, we're probably going to defer to the State Fire Marshal's Office and use their expertise.
The legality there is very dubious at best. But
yes.
I bring it up because in terms of a lot of dangerous situations in general, either the police or some form of first responder are usually the first, like as the name implies, the first ones on the scene. So you have to have certain guidelines on how to deal with situations, who to call and what to do, correct?
Yeah, and I think that depends on what the situation is, and that can range in a variety of things. If time is on your side, we're going to probably attempt to use time. If there is an ongoing incident that involves, let's say, an active shooter, heaven forbid, you know, again, we're going to make a response immediately. We've learned some things over the years. We can't retreat and bring in TAC teams from all over the area or eastern Iowa because, you know, time is working against you. So every one of those street officers has been trained in what to do there, and we're going to use that training to hopefully come to a successful conclusion with that situation.
And the training with a lot of these situations has changed in recent years because a lot of what's been called de-escalation training has been added to a lot of police work. And has that really changed how you guys do things?
Well, I think most cops with any experience at all have, you know, some built-in de-escalation techniques, things that they've learned to talk about. You know, that's one of the things that I actually instruct, and was just at our academy here last week doing some of that stuff and talking about, you know, what to say. Not everything is going to involve a situation with an immediate threat. It may not be weapons related at all. So how are you going to convince individuals to do certain things, and how do you de-escalate situations that are extremely volatile, and what to say and how to say it, and things of that nature. So that's probably been in law enforcement. Again, I like to go back to the days of Wyatt Earp, and Wyatt Earp probably had to de-escalate a few situations back then as well. So, you know, that's part of good law enforcement techniques and hopefully using that to the benefit of everyone involved.
Well, it's definitely become, to some people it seems like it's a job the police shouldn't have to do because people having issues with mental health is a big topic right now, and it seems like the police are usually the first people that are called whenever someone's having a violent episode, for want of a better phrase. But it just seems like are there specific officers that are more trained to deal with these people, or is it more of a department-wide thing that should be learned, do you think?
We have a few officers. They call them CIT. I'm not sure what that stands for, but they've been trained to deal with people with I guess, problems, mental problems.
Trained to deal with people who are having episodes, for want of a
correct. I mean, they're upset about something, and they're trained to go and talk to them and try to get them the help that they need.
So if there's a situation arise, an officer on the scene would typically call a CIT?
Correct.
To aid in the
and
situation.
We try to have at least one on each shift.
Right.
Sometimes you might have to call them in, but we have several of them on the department.
Well, it's always good to have people like that around. It is 9:30 at KBUR. We're joined by Jason Marlowe, Greg Allen. We will have more with them right after the news.
News now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
About 49% of Des Moines County has been fully vaccinated against COVID-19. The Hawkeye reports that as of Tuesday, about 49% of Des Moines County residents are fully vaccinated, and 54% have received at least one dose. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention considers a person fully vaccinated after they've been given either a two-dose variety of vaccine or a single-shot variety. Roughly 61% of people in the state of Iowa are now fully vaccinated. A 24-year-old Iowa woman has been sentenced to 5 years in jail for a crash that killed a Missouri man. KTVO-TV reports Paris Wall Bickham of Birmingham, Iowa, was accused of driving drunk during the January 4th, 2019 crash that killed 22-year-old Gavin Hanna of Memphis, Missouri. Police say Hanna was a passenger in Bickham's car when it went off a road and plunged into the Des Moines River near Keosauqua. Bickham pled guilty last month to serious injury by vehicle. The original charge of homicide by vehicle while operating under the influence was dropped in exchange for the plea. An arrest warrant has been issued for a Cedar Rapids man after he failed to appear in court last week on a charge accusing him of harassing a Linn County prosecutor. The Gazette reports that 34-year-old Marcus Allen DeVore was charged in December with third-degree harassment. Investigators say he contacted Assistant Linn County Attorney Monica Slaughter on December 22nd with the intent to threaten or intimidate her. Investigators say that although he was warned not to contact Slaughter again, he continued to send her Facebook messages that included, quote, vulgar, threatening, alarming, and intimidating language and emojis. The governor of Illinois has presented an annual spending plan, not amid the usual pomp, but to a mostly empty chamber during an onslaught of winter weather in Illinois. With inflation soaring, Governor Pritzker offered a budget blueprint Wednesday with plans to suspend or offer rebates for taxes on groceries, gasoline, and property as a way to relieve consumers. The 57-year-old Democrat's speech also amounts to an unofficial opening to his campaign for a second term. From the KBOR Newsroom, I'm Colin Letty.
I'm Chris Foster. A top terrorist leader is dead, detonating a suicide vest, also killing members of his family, including women and children, we're told, during a U.S. commando raid in Syria.
President Biden says the U.S. has taken off the battlefield ISIS leader Abu Ibrahim al-Hashimi al-Qureshi, one of the world's most wanted terrorists. Elite Special Operations Forces raided a house in northern Syria overnight. The Pentagon says there were no U.S. casualties. The house was left with its top floor shattered.
Fox's Simon Owen. A snow and ice storm is moving across a large part of the country.
A very dangerous ice storm is underway for parts of Arkansas through Kentucky, where over half an inch of ice is likely. We're also seeing the potential of ice accumulation from Texas through the Ohio Valley. Power outages will be likely in many of these cities.
Fox meteorologist Janice Dean. There are more than 100,000 power outages reported already in Texas, Arkansas, and Tennessee. America's listening to Fox News.
Weather now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
Cloudy skies this morning will give way to gradually becoming mostly sunny and a high today 17. We'll have a north wind, though, gusting up to 25. For tonight, partly cloudy, a low down to 1 above. Wind chill is down to 10 below. Sunny on Friday, a high up to 24. And then for mostly clear Friday night, a low down to 2 above. Sunny Saturday, a high up to 27. Saturday night, partly cloudy, a low down to 18. Right now, cloudy skies, it's 11.
I'm Jessica Ettinger, CNBC. Wall Street's four-day winning streak in jeopardy today with major averages in the red. Bond yields are higher this morning. Facebook, now called Meta, losing a fifth of its value after a rare earnings miss for the last quarter and an outlook that was far worse than expected. Fewer daily active users as people drop off of Facebook. We get numbers from Amazon and Ford after the closing bell today. The number of people who applied for unemployment benefits last week came in lower than expected, 238,000, more like an average pre-pandemic week. Spotify shares struggling this morning. Airlines are struggling with the mammoth winter storm that's forced them to cancel thousands of flights nationwide yesterday and today. American Airlines planning to order more MAX jets from Boeing. Jessica Ettinger, CNBC.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language like French, Spanish, or Russian, but thought it would be too difficult and time-consuming? Then go to Babbel.com and try it for free. Babbel works because it's built around real life. It teaches you everyday practical conversations that you will actually use. In 15 minutes a day, you'll be on your way to speaking a new language in just a few weeks. Babbel uses a modern conversation-based technique that makes language engaging, fun, and memorable. It starts by teaching you words and phrases. Then, sentences gradually get more complex. Soon, you're practicing short conversations about real-life topics. Babbel is created by language experts who use the spaced repetition method to help you learn quickly and remember what you learned. With Babbel, you can speak a new language. Babbel. Language for life. Celebrating 10 million subscriptions sold. Now try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. Just go to Babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
At Great River Health, we're proud of keeping our community healthy for 126 years. We believe our success is built on our employees' service to their friends and neighbors. If you're ready to work for an organization that appreciates you, visit GreatRiverHealth.org to learn about job openings. Besides paying every employee at least $15 an hour and providing great benefits, some of our positions come with sign-on bonuses and extra pay for shifts. Learn more at GreatRiverHealth.org.
Get organized with Dakota Shelving at Menards. Dakota Shelving has the perfect storage solution with a variety of sizes and eight attractive finishes. Right now, an 8-foot long, 11¾ by 3/4 inch shelf is just $9.99 after $5 rebate. Keep your space tidy with Designer's Image Cube Storage Organizers. Get an 11-inch fabric drawer free after rebate now at Menards. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Everything you need to know and more on AM and FM. All your favorite programs and personalities with a cleaner, clearer signal and a larger nighttime coverage area. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
And welcome back, folks. It is 9:37 at KBUR. It is Peace Officer Day. Lieutenant Greg Allen of the Burlington Police Department, Jason Marlowe of Iowa State Patrol joining me on the other side of the console. And we discussed this briefly during the break. A lot of places are having trouble getting workers or finding people to fill spots. And I imagine with law enforcement currently, it's a bit of a tricky situation to find new recruits.
Yeah, it is. And that's something that we've seen actually over the last several years. And there's a variety of reasons for that. Clearly, there has been some national spotlight from the media. And we're thankful that's not in Iowa with the difficulties that law enforcement officers have and things of that nature that we've had to overcome. And other things also contribute to that. You know, we have shift work, and not everybody wants to be working other than 9 to 5 or things of that nature. We work on holidays. We work on weekends. We're often busiest on holidays and weekends and things of that nature. So we have to overcome that. We want qualified men and women in this position no matter what department you're working for. And we'll continue to work on those challenges and find those applicants that will make good officers. And we hope to retain them. That's one of the other things that we have. Sometimes we find somebody, we get them through the hiring process, and maybe they realize this isn't what I thought it was, or there's things that have changed. So we try to do the best we can to put individuals in those positions. We're not just, especially for the State Patrol, and I know the Burlington Police Department has the same philosophy, we're not just going to put any old able body in that position and just to fill the ranks, because that becomes, you know, incredibly difficult to overcome if you've got somebody out there doing something that they shouldn't and it's not well trained and doesn't have common sense and the ability to communicate. So we can train qualified applicants, and we're going to continue to maintain that. Our hiring process is actually open now. I'm glad you mentioned that. So if you want to go to DPS Careers, I know Lieutenant Allen's thinking about maybe doing something here in the next few days. If he wanted to restart his career and come over with us again, we'd be glad to look at that and take his application and work him through that. But dpscareers.com would be a good place to start.
Get that plug in there. But, yeah, it's definitely a difficult time, not just for law enforcement in my eyes from what I've seen, but it's first responders in general have had a really hard time getting new employees, whether that's fire, EMS, what have you. But especially with a lot of the what goings on in the social climate and a lot of issues that's happened over the past year, I'd say over the past 2 years going on now. Jeez, we've been in this pandemic too long. But over the past 2 years, law enforcement especially has been put under a lot more scrutiny than anybody else because of a lot of things that have happened. For example, there was, of course, the George Floyd stuff, the Jacob Blake shootings, Breonna Taylor, what have you. That seems to have soured a lot of people's opinions on law enforcement. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, and again, I think you're looking at a national narrative. There's probably, and I truly do believe this, there's probably no better place to be than in Iowa right now as a law enforcement official. And even during those incidents and others, and you can go back in time and find all kinds of things. It's not just the recent incidents that drive that media and that narrative. We've got great support still, and I've probably received more thank yous during that time, and I appreciate what you do, and people that are truly sincere about that. So it's a good place to be. We've hopefully use that in some of our recruiting campaigns in other places to bring in qualified individuals and say, hey, listen, if things aren't working out for you in this department or in other places in the country, come to Iowa, see what we've got to offer. So, we will continue to work on that. And again, it's a difficult thing to overcome. But as I mentioned earlier, I don't think law enforcement is unique to hiring challenges, healthcare, teachers. I saw there was an opening the other day for truck drivers and a nationwide shortage there. So we've got a whole you know, thing to address as a society, and it's not just law enforcement when it comes to putting qualified individuals to work.
Absolutely. I only bring it up because, as you said, there is a sort of national narrative towards law enforcement in a lot of places in the U.S. Lieutenant Allen, would you care to comment?
Well, yeah, we're short as well. I think part of it, too, is, you know, they're retirements. We also have several that are going to other agencies. So it's just sometimes, you know, if another place is paying a little more, they're gonna go to that job. So
it's like any other industry that's really everybody's having trouble finding people to work right now. And has the pandemic really changed a lot for law enforcement in terms of day to day?
Well, I think some of the things clearly have affected us. We've did, you know, different ways of combating that. We've been very fortunate with the DPS and State Patrol District 13 specifically that our employees have been healthy, have, you know, dealt with a handful of incidents from that standpoint, but nothing that has set them back or ended their careers from that perspective. And that's a good thing. You're always thankful for your health. I think sometimes we take that for granted far too often until something like this arises and you see the outcomes that others have to deal with. So, you know, has it changed tactics? Maybe. We maybe don't do as much interaction within that 6-foot radius. There's probably been a lot more reports that have been taken over the phone, just dealing with individuals from a distance instead of going into their homes. Maybe you have that conversation outside, things of that nature. And whether it's been super effective or not, time will tell. I think we may have returned to some of our, you know, pre-pandemic type operations more so. And again, we're thankful for that.
And Lieutenant Allen, has the Burlington Police Department experienced any sort of change with the pandemic going up and down as it is?
Yeah, I would say at the beginning, you know, we were more cautious, but as we, you know, started to learn about the virus, we've, like he said, I think we're back to about where we were before.
Mm-hmm. Now, I just remember someone discussing this. I think me and Steve were talking about this. When we were in lockdown and everything was shut down and nobody was going outside, it seemed like crime was just going down and down. And I think a lot of people expected once lockdowns were lifted that crime was just going to go way up. If anything, aside from a lot of the larger incidences, it went back up, but not at the substantial level I think a lot of people expected.
Yeah, and I'm sure there could be somebody way smarter than me that could put pen to paper and figure out the reasons for that. But anytime you have less interactions with people, and I think we saw a significant decline in vehicular traffic at the beginning of the pandemic, I can remember vividly working in one day, stopped at the stoplight at Roosevelt and Agency and looking left and right and behind me and in front of me and not seeing any other cars on a time of day when that would have not been the norm. And it was kind of eerie in some ways. I'm like, there's nobody out here. So we've probably rebounded a lot from that. I think if you were at that intersection right now, you'd probably see cars, and that's a good thing. So whether that equals the amount of criminal activity that is occurring or will bounce back up to the norms, I hope it stays at an all-time low forever.
I think I think a lot of people would agree with you. Lieutenant Greg Allen, Jason Marlowe, we are talking about work in law enforcement. We'll be back with more after this.
Rebounded by Wagner again. Inside to Cook. Here comes a dunk. How about Ahmad Wagner?
From the opening tip to the final buzzer, you're a part of the team each and every time they hit the court. Right here on the Hawkeye Sports Network.
Iowa travels to Ohio State Thursday with pregame at 6. Brought to you by Bob Dodds Insurance in Danville, Rhinesmith's Flooring America, the Danville State Savings Bank, and by Standard of Beaverdale on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
Hey, this is Kevin Love from the Cleveland Cavaliers. At times, life can feel scary, which can leave us hurting and feeling overwhelmed with anxiety. Now, more than ever, we need to be kind to ourselves, kind to our mental health, and find some time and space in these tough times. Mindfulness is something that's helped me, and I hope it can help you too. my nonprofit is partnering with Headspace to offer you free content that can ease those feelings of anxiety. It's as easy to do as this. Take a big, deep breath, in through the nose, out through the mouth. In and out. Just breathing. In and out. Head to kevinlovefund.org/headspace and be kind to your mind.
Do your pets have the same energy they used to? Do they have problems with itching, scratching, a dull coat, or goopy ears? Then your pets need Dinovite.
Dinovite.com.
For over 20 years, pet owners have trusted Dinovite to supplement their pet's diet.
We started Dinovite and in our first box, we noticed a difference.
Dinovite is an all-natural daily supplement made from whole foods that help support your pet's immune system, digestion, skin, and coat.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
Today's commercial pet foods are processed at high temperatures, which bakes out all the essential goodness. These processed foods can lack the essential vitamins, enzymes, and probiotics that contribute to overall good health. Adding a scoop of Dinovite to your pet's food bowl is the answer.
If you love your pets as much as I do, you'll want to do what's best for them to live long, healthy, happy lives.
I have 2 cats and 2 dogs. All 4 of them are on the Dinovite.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
Dinovite.com.
Farm Bureau works every day to create a vibrant future for agriculture, farm families, and our communities, benefiting Iowans from all walks of life, like Farm Bureau member Sarah Russell.
I am a 4th grade school teacher. Farm Bureau has done a wonderful job of providing resources for me within my classroom with the egg literacy program, Egg in the Classroom. We've been doing Pizzathon, which allows students to research the different pizza toppings, where the sausage comes from, where the cheese comes from, and an understanding of how the pizza is made, and the students actually make the pizzas as well. So they have a good understanding of what all goes into just one of their favorite meals, and to really show what does happen on a family farm.
We're the Iowa Farm Bureau, a century strong and growing. To become a member, call your local County Farm Bureau today.
And we are back on Peace Officer Day. Lieutenant Greg Allen, Jason Marlowe joining me. And I believe we still have a caller. Good morning. Who do we have with us?
Yeah, say, this is Tad. What I want to know, is a scanner legal to have, and how do you get programmed into one of them? If it's legal, but I used to be, I had one. I kind of like listened to it.
I'm sorry, sir. We were having some audio issues. Could you please repeat your question?
Yeah, I'd like to know if it's legal to have a scanner.
You want to know if it's legal to have you want to know if it's legal to have a scanner?
Yes.
Oh, like a
Police scanner.
Like a police scanner at his house?
No, that's
There's nothing illegal about that I'm aware of. Yeah.
So that is perfectly legal.
Yes. Yeah. There's a lot of people that have that. You know, I think some of the new communications through law enforcement from a digital standpoint may make some of the older analog scanners a little bit more ineffective, or you can't pick things up. But I assume they have digital scanners now. I think we have some in our patrol cars that are, you know, used to monitor other channels of communication. So, yeah, there's nothing to my knowledge that makes it illegal to have a scanner.
Okay. How do you get programmed? They say you got to go through a computer or something to program it.
So he wants to know how do you so programming is how do you program one exactly?
Yeah, I'm not a technical guy. I wish I could help you with that. I'd probably still... You know, we were talking earlier off air, I have a VCR that's flashing 12 all the time, so it's right twice a day. So I can't help you with programming a police scanner, but, you know, if you're like me and are facing some challenges about certain things, I go to YouTube, and I'd be willing to bet there's somebody that can teach you how to program your exact make.
Okay, well, thank you. I guess it's legal to have one then, huh?
Yes, it is.
Okay, thank you very much.
You have a nice day. All right, so owning a scanner, perfectly legal.
Yeah, I don't think there's any a lot of people that enjoy, you know, some of that banter that used to go on back and forth. I'll tell you, our radio system has changed immensely on the State Patrol, and we use a different system than the old version. Much more effective in communication, the signal, no different than the technology that you're equipped with here at the station. Way better for communication purposes, because clearly when incidents do arise, communication is a factor that is, you know, something that is A1 priority. And you've got to be able to relay pertinent information through multiple agencies. A lot of times you'll have, let's just say it's a car crash.
All right, looks like we got a couple more callers. We got a little bit of time. Good morning. Who do we have with us?
Ed.
Ed, good morning. How are you doing today?
Really fine, thank you. Something's not inherent with just this county. It's all over. But I noticed in my travels that so many people are just tailgating you so close, especially when you're trying to turn. And it's terribly dangerous. And I don't know, I see more rude drivers anymore than I've seen in quite a while. And that's my comment, and I'll listen to the answer. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue that the following too closely law, and that's what we call it here in Iowa, is one that probably is violated quite a bit. Now, I'll tell you from an enforcement standpoint, there's very difficult, you know, the way the law is written to enforce that. And you go back to driver's ed where you learn maybe the 2-second following rule or the 3-second following rule. Well, we don't have that written into the law. There's really no time and distance. So, you know, the reasonable and proper following distance could be reasonable and proper in a lot of people's minds. We've been successful over the years with our aircraft. And for instance, when we have our pilots up that have their stopwatch and they can say, these two cars are traveling at 75 miles per hour on the interstate. The one directly behind it is less than a tenth of a second off the back bumper of the one in front of them. Then that makes a little bit more sense and people can say, you know, listen, that's too close. But I would agree with the caller that increased following distance is beneficial, and it's probably something that we don't see enough of.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Good morning. Who do we have with us?
Oh, this is Dean.
Dean, good morning. What do you have to say?
Well, I just want to say thank you. The flashing yellow arrow that's on West Avenue, Roosevelt West Avenue and Division in West and Roosevelt, boy, is a really big plus because it helps traffic to move on through. And I know more than once when I was going north on Roosevelt and you're trying to cross over and you think that the other oncoming traffic has now stopped, but they have a green light, and I've now got smacked twice there. And just having that yellow flashing arrow to me makes a whole lot of sense, and it's a real safety thing. So just want to shout out a thank you to whoever put that in, because I think it's a big plus. That's all I have to say.
Thank you for calling in, Dean. I think that would have been a great comment to have when we had some city council members on a couple of weeks ago. But definitely better traffic lights definitely help avoid crashes. I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah, and I know the lights on Roosevelt have changed, and I'm well aware of what the caller's talking about there. And my only concern, first switched over, it took a little bit for people to figure out what was going on. There were some times when that light would go from red to flashing yellow, and people would immediately turn, not knowing that the other lanes of traffic in the opposite direction had the green light. So you still have to yield there. I think they've added some signage reminding motorists that, you know, the yield is still required on a left-hand turn. But anything we can do to improve traffic and to get it moving is typically a benefit.
I think one of the biggest ones that lead to stuff like that is people driving distracted, and that seems to be a problem now more than ever.
Well, we live in a world where everyone has access to things that distract them, and it doesn't matter whether you're driving a car or shopping at the local grocery store, pushing a shopping cart, the distractions are immense. So driving a car is much more important than pushing that shopping cart, so we've got to make a commitment as a driver and a motorist to put those distractions, or at least limit as many as we can. You know, you could be distracted by a conversation with a passenger, and I'm a fan of not making a law for every single thing. And common sense tells me that focusing on the task at hand is typically the benefit there. So,
no, that's really not the big offender. The big offender, obviously, is technology in that regard. And it's you're seeing it more in a lot of more of these more modern cars like Tesla. They have these giant screens built into that have access to the internet, so you can do whatever you want on them, and that has to be a massive distraction.
And it very well could be. And going forward, you know, that's kind of where we're headed. And the more technological opportunities in motor vehicles, the better in some people's minds. Listen, I drive an old pickup truck with crank windows and AM radio, so I'm all about 1490 and rolling the windows down. But I realize I'm probably in the minority compared to many people that are going to make a new purchase today, and that's just what we've got. So we've got to talk to that driver, and we have to inform them of, listen, this is still your choice. You're the one behind the wheel, and knowing that that has to be the priority all of the time is going to put you in the safest place, as well as the other cars on the roadway, and making them safer.
Oh, you definitely want to do as much as you can to avoid any sort of accident, or I believe another big problem I see a lot of places is people speeding in school zones. That tends to be a big complaint throughout a lot of cities in this country.
Yeah, we have the governor's safety grant that we use to kind of combat that. We'll have officers that come in off duty and they'll work overtime and concentrate on the school zones for speeding. And
well, for obvious reasons, that's a big concern because you want to keep the kids safe.
Yeah, and, you know, again, it's through all times that children are present and knowing those school zones, understanding the importance. And on days when it's tremendously cold, you may not see as many people that are walking out as pedestrians as you would during a nicer day, but it's still a lot of traffic there, increased drop-offs and pickups with other cars, as well as the buses themselves. So obeying those school speed zones and limits is a priority, and I know the Burlington PD does a good job. I live fairly close to a school off Sunnyside, and I see them present there quite frequently as I travel around.
Well, we're very, very thankful that you guys are around to keep us safe. Greg Allen, Jason Marlowe, it has been Peace Officer Day. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us here.
Thanks, Colin.
Thank you. 9:59 at KBUR. Stay tuned for AgriTalk after the news.